Right. Take your Bibles. We're going to look at one verse tonight, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse number 30. Familiar passage to many, but Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. We'll read this verse in unison together. I'm waiting for everybody to find it. Proverbs is after the book of Psalms. All right, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Let's read it in unison together. Ready? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, do me a favor. Make sure your phones are on vibrate or off. this is just the service it'll happen in, and I need you to, and do me a favor, put all your toys and trinkets and other things away. I want you to pay attention tonight. Some of you wander a little bit, and I let you get away with it, but not tonight. I'm probably going to strike a little harder tonight, so I need you to listen. I desire to live the Christian life as I should. May I say this? I fail. I'm a sinner just like you are. But I realize, even though I'm saved, even though probably everybody in this room is saved, we're still sinners. Amen. The best of us are still sinners.
Yes, sir.
You know, there are only two kinds of people in this world. You have saved sinners, and you have lost sinners.
Amen.
And before we save sinners, look at a lost sinner and think we're something, you're no better than they are. The only difference is what's inside of you, and that is the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
You have no right to look down your pharisaical snoot at anybody.
Right.
Neither do I. By the way, well, I'm a better Christian than so-and-so. At that point, you're not.
That's right.
God said it's not wise for you to compare yourselves among yourselves.
Right.
And so here's the difference. We saved sinners are headed for heaven. Lost sinners are headed for hell. Now, God placed the responsibility of getting the gospel out on the human race. God placed the getting the gospel out to other people on the human race. He took care of the price for salvation, but he placed it on us, since we were the ones that messed it up, to take it to every creature. That's our responsibility. God doesn't come to anybody and say, Joyce, you have to get saved. That's Calvinism.
Yep, right.
That's lazy Christianity. That is, well, if God wants them saved, it'll be their responsibility to find the truth garbage, which is Calvinism.
Yes, sir.
No, God placed on we Christians, the moment you get saved, it's every person's responsibility to get the gospel out to other people. He put that on us. That's our responsibility. Now, he took care of the penalty. He took care of the payment. He paid for it in full, but we got to deliver the package.
Right.
Now, God gave us even the Bible in a clear-cut presentation on how to give it to everybody. He didn't say, well, you decide what the gospel is. He said, I'll tell you what to tell them, and it's in my words. And by the way, I think it's wise to use the Bible when you go soul winning. I am not opposed of people using a gospel tract. I take gospel tracts with me everywhere I go, but it is very, very, very rare. I can't think of probably once in the last 10 years that I only used a gospel tract to win somebody to Christ. Say, why? I'd rather just use my Bible. You say, well, not everybody's going to listen to you if you got your Bible open, then they're not going to get saved. I use this as a part of, I don't care what the church says, I care what God says. This has more bearing than that, just so you know. Now, I realize all those verses are word for word, but they don't realize that. That book right there has power. And I usually use my New Testament. I'm not saying if you didn't use a New Testament and you only used a gospel tract that somebody didn't get saved. Don't put words in my mouth. All right? I just find it's best to use the Bible. And God gave us a clear presentation of how to do it. Now, did you know God made it easy for everybody to get saved?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you know a small child can get saved? Did you know teenagers can get saved? Even junior hires can get saved.
Really?
That's hard to believe, and they really need it.
Yeah.
did you know that middle-aged people can get saved? And even old people can get saved. Amen, Brother Fred? Now, I will tell you this. The longer they go, the harder the hit is to get through. I'm not looking at any one person. All right? Now, God told us in His Word even how we're supposed to do it. God said, take the gospel to every creature. He said, from house to house. Guess what? That means there are times we're supposed to go door to door, knocking on doors, telling people how to get saved. But did you know that's not the only way people get saved? They get saved in funeral services. They get saved in church services. They get saved at weddings if they have the right kind of preacher there. they get saved if you're out on an airplane somewhere or out about shopping. They can get saved anywhere. We're supposed to take the gospel to every creature. That's why we have missions. We give money to our missionaries to go out and have people saved. And it's one more avenue for us to reach people with the gospel. And I'm not going to go any farther with that right now, but let me say it this way. We're not supposed to use our methods. We're supposed to use God's methods.
Right.
If we're to take His message to the human race, why are we supposed to think of our way to do it when God told us in His book how to do it? See, man's gotten cute. Man's gotten ahead of God. And man wants to do it his way and not God's way. Now, hang on here. I'm about to get a little bit fired up here. We have no right to tell God how we're going to go soul winning. We have no right to come up with our own methods to go soul winning. God told us in His book exactly what He wanted us to do. Now, I call this soul winning does more than just keep people out of hell. Soul winning does more than just keep people out of hell. Now, did you know there's more to soul winning for the Christian than just obedience to God? Now, it is as much obedience as baptism is. It's as much obedience as tithing is. But there's more to it than just obedience. There's more to it than just keeping somebody else out of hell. Soul winning will do more for you and more for others than just keep somebody out of hell. Tonight, I want to show you five things that soul winning does more than just keep people out of hell. Number one, soul winning will keep you humble. Oh boy, will it keep you humble. Soul winning means you look at the needs of others instead of your own desires. When you want to stay in bed on a Saturday morning instead of get up and go soul winning, it has a way of humbling you. I'll be honest with you. There's days I don't feel like doing it. You knock on as many doors as I have in my lifetime. Listen to me very carefully. I've been cussed out. I've been had the police sicked on me. I've had dogs sicked on me. I've had children sicked on me. I've had snakes unleashed on me. I've had you name it. I've had people pull guns on me. I've had all kinds of things. I've had more doors slammed in my face than most people have ever knocked on in their life. I'll promise you. For 5 years in Bible college, my Bible club area was in central Hammond, Indiana. My Bible club started at the railroad tracks across the street from First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, and went down to 165th Street. Can I tell you something? Those doors, Mrs. Lopez, you were in my Bible club, you know. There wasn't a week go by that I didn't hear this statement. You're the seventh person today to knock on my door from that church. I think the most we ever got to was 13th person in one day. 13 people from the church had knocked on their doors. I had lost people that could give you the gospel better than most soul winners could. Yes, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Yes, number one, I know we're all sinners. I mean, they could go boom, 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 boom. They'd show you a stack of tracks like that sitting by the door. They had more gospel tracks than most of my workers had. That's a tough area to go soul winning in, just so you know. But soul winning will keep you humble. You have to face other human beings and rejection by other human beings. Did you know it's not fun to be rejected?
You know, it's not fun to have somebody slam a door in your face. Every once in a while, somebody will knock on my door. I do answer it. I'm generally pretty kind, but I'm usually not interested in what they have. Now, I've only in my entire life had two people knock on my door soul winning. How many? Think about it. Since you've been saved, how many people have knocked on your door soul winning? Very few. Very few. How sad. Now, the morons and the Jehovah's false witnesses have knocked a few times.
But by the way, I'm kind to them as well. I won't be rude, but when you answer the door knowing it's a moron or Jehovah's false witness, and you say, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist pastor, they usually say, oh, okay, see you later. And that's about all I have to say. I usually reach in my pocket and hand them a gospel tract on their way out. You say, why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Wait a minute. I'll be kind to somebody, but it takes an awful sharp person to keep my door open as many doors as I've knocked on. Now, wait a minute. Soul winning goes against the intellect of man. You know, it doesn't make sense to us human beings. You know, if we were setting up soul winning, we would do what the modernists are doing and take a survey. You know what surveys are? It's soul winning for chickens. You get a bunch of people out with a piece of paper and you ask them 15 questions and you go back and somebody looks at those, and if they answered certain questions right, then you send somebody back. Well, we have a higher percentage of people saved because they've answered this question wanting to know something. Who are you to judge who gets saved and who doesn't? God didn't say go door to door, house to house, taking surveys. He said take the gospel, not surveys. And by the way, I'm not telling you that somebody's going to die and go to hell because of a survey, but if you're just answering 15 questions and not giving them the gospel, who are you to judge whether they're going to heaven or not? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, listen to this statement. They say soul winning is not intellectual. I'm smart enough to miss hell.
That's right.
I'm smart enough to keep somebody else out of hell.
Yes, amen.
I'd rather be unintelligent with smart people that are dying and going to hell than be intelligent on my way to hell.
Yes,
by the way, their intellect will only go so far when they're burning in hell. They're going to wish they listened to some dumb old Baptist knocking on their door one day. Can I tell you something? Soul winning is old as the Bible. It's not flashy. We were at the college a year or so ago. One of the preacher boys was asking me about our church. He found out I started the church, and he said, where are you on Facebook? And I said, nowhere. And he just looked at me. He got that glazed look in his eye, Brother Stoltz. And I said, go ahead, ask me. He said, you can't start a church without Facebook. I said, shh, don't tell my people. I said, we've only had 2,000 people saved. I guess I can't start a church without it. How many of you have saved in the last 2 years?
Yep.
He didn't know how to answer that. He said, well, how do you get people to come to your church? I said, son, and I pulled out my New Testament. I said, go to the book of Acts. They didn't have Facebook. They put their face in the book and they went out knocking on doors. I said, if you quit playing on your stupid computer and go out and tell people how to get saved, I said, you can build a church.
Amen.
He didn't like that answer. Guess what? We're still not on Facebook.
Yep.
Had almost 180 visitors. Baptized 3 people in the last 3 weeks. Guess you don't need Facebook to get people saved, huh?
That's right.
Amen. Wait a minute. hang on here. God didn't say go out after somebody gets saved, put them in through a 17-week discipleship class. Discipleship is full-time ministry. The disciples were full-time Christian servants. That's Bible college. He commanded every Christian to grow in grace.
Amen.
Say, what's growth in grace? Soul winning, reading your Bible, prayer, come to Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. church, getting involved in the work of the Lord, being a good, solid Christian layperson, that's called growth in grace. That's our responsibility. There's not one time in the Bible God commanded you to be a disciple. He said, now, if you're not willing to leave father, mother, brethren, and kindred, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean every person that gets saved has to leave their family to grow in the Lord. No. It means I had to be willing to leave my family to go serve God full time. And by the way, I did. First church I went to, I moved as far away as you could move away and still be in the United States on the continent. I went from Chicago to L.A. My folks lived in Ohio or Indiana. I forget where they moved. They were in, I think you were in Ohio at that time. After my freshman year of college, my folks moved, and I didn't even know where they lived and didn't even have a key to their house. I drove to the town they moved in. I'm driving around town. My mom's running around going, yeah, here we are. Before there was GPS, amen. They didn't even leave me a forwarding address. Sheesh. That makes you feel real good, doesn't it? Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? That's called being willing to be a disciple. I had to be willing to leave my folk. My wife's family lived in Minnesota. My folks lived in Ohio. We went to California, went to South Carolina, went back to Indiana, and then we moved here. And it wasn't until we had moved here and been here a while that my family moved here, some of my family. They haven't followed me all over the country. Say why? Because I had to be willing to leave then. When Josh and Ruth Ann left a couple weeks ago to go to Florida, that's called being a disciple. And thank God they're in a good church and doing well. And can I tell you something? Yeah, it's sad, but I'm happy for them. I want them to be as happy as we were. I really do. Everybody having fun? I'm having fun. Did you know we're not supposed to start parachurch organizations like RU? Say, what's that? Reformers Unanimous. That's AA for Christians.
Yep.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Same message.
It's the same material.
Yep,
sure is. Hate to disappoint you. I'm not telling you that it's a bad thing, and I'm for every person to get saved. But I know churches that are so wrapped up in that they quit their soul winning.
Yes, sir.
I know that. So, number one, soul winning will keep you humble. Did you know when you get chased by a dog, it humbles you? Did you know when somebody slams the door in your face, it'll humble you?
Yep.
You know when somebody looks at you and cusses you out, it'll humble you because you're not supposed to yell back at them?
Yes, sir.
We're not supposed to stand there and argue with them. We're not responsible for making them get it. Now, every once in a while, the flesh will creep in. You might yell back a little bit. Just don't tell me about it. Just don't do it, all right? So, number one, keep you humble. I got to hurry. Number two, soul winning causes us to want to separate and be closer to God. Listen to this. When we represent God out soul winning, you'll want to be more like Him.
Soul winning churches have higher dress standards than non-soul winning churches.
Sir, that's right.
I'm not talking about the height of the skirt either. I'm talking about longer skirts.
Yep.
Can I tell you why? Because when you're out knocking on doors representing God, you're not supposed to look like the world. And you realize after you've been out soul winning a while that you're representing God.
That's right.
I don't have to preach on standards all the time. If I can get you soul winning, I have to preach on it less because you'll want to change and be more like God.
Yes.
Did you know people used to criticize the old preachers for preaching on standards, but they weren't criticized for preaching on standards. They were criticizing the soul winning.
Yes, sir.
Because soul winning causes you to want to be closer to God. You'll leave the world. You'll quit your drinking to go soul winning. You'll quit smoking cigarettes to go soul winning. You'll quit dressing the wrong way to go soul winning. Christian young people that grow up in church and get tired of dress standards, can I tell you why? They're not soul winners.
Yes, sir.
They may go soul winning because they're forced to, but they're not a soul winner in their heart.
Amen.
When you get soul winning as a part of your life, you want to be closer to God, and you'll separate on purpose.
Yes, sir.
promise you, when you see dress standards, music standards, when you see all the other standards in a church start going towards the world, I'll show you long before then that the soul winning started backing off. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. Hey, let me show you what I mean. You go on vacation, do things on vacation you wouldn't do because you're not soul winning while you're on vacation.
Amen.
Hello. Okay.
No good, preacher.
Did you know you have to pull away from the world to be more like Jesus? And when you're out soul winning and you represent God, all of a sudden something changes inside you. Can I tell you this? This is the fun part of it. This is where most Christians miss it. Did you realize if you're going soul winning, you don't have to separate from the world? They'll separate from you.
That's right. Amen.
You know, you don't have to worry about pulling away from the wrong crowd. They're not going to stick around very long. They really don't. When you see how God uses you to change somebody's eternity, you're going to want to change so that you can see it happen again and again and again and again and again and again. When you start seeing God change somebody's life, God used you to help that process, you're going to say, whew, that was good. I want to do that again. And if I can do that again, God, can I get a little closer to you? I'll separate from the world to get that one more time. Guarantee it. So, soul winning keeps us humble. Number two, soul winning causes us to want to separate and be closer to God. Here we go. Soul winning, number three, unifies us around a common cause. Soul winning will unify you around a common cause. Did you know in soul winning churches, you're less likely to have, and I didn't say never, but you're less likely to have cliques in your church? You're less likely to have backbiters in your church? And by the way, when you do, it's the non-soul winners that are doing it.
That's right.
Guarantee it. Soul winners are generally not gossipers. Say why? Because you're busy telling somebody about Jesus, not worried about somebody else's sin. You're trying to get their sin forgiven for eternity. You're not worried about what it is. Can I tell you something? Take your gossip time, turn it into soul winning time, and watch God change your life.
Amen.
Boy, that's a good statement. Did you know that soul winners don't have time to fuss? Because we're out trying to get people saved. We really are. Yeah, I'm not going to stand there and argue with anybody. I'm not going to stand there and argue with Brother Mike. If Brother Mike and I disagree on something, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to go out to eat and sit down and eat and talk about it. I'll say, Brother Mike, let's go soul winning, and then we'll talk about it. Usually by the time we get done soul winning, whatever it was didn't matter. Say why? Because everything seems to be pretty petty in comparison to seeing people get saved. So soul winners don't have time to fuss. Did you know a soul winning church has a common cause of seeing people get saved? I love it. You all get here at church and there's people walking up and down the parking lot. I watched Miss Mung today. She hadn't gotten out of her vehicle. She hadn't been, hardly got her feet out of the truck, and some lady was walking up the parking lot. And I watched her just walk over to her. She was pulling out gospel tracts, handing to her. Poor lady was lost. She's staying at the Comfort Inn. She was took a walk and didn't remember where the hotel was. She said, well, you're lost. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?
There you go.
So, yeah, I got saved. She said, good, the Comfort Inn's just right up there. Actually, it's that way. I was dying. I thought it was funny. I thought, you know, that's the mark of a good church.
Amen.
We're more concerned about people getting saved. I've watched you all tackling people out there, chasing people down. And by the way, let me say this. Drive carefully in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Some of you fly in and out of here, and you're going to hit somebody someday and have a tragedy, and it's not funny. Take your time. It's a parking lot.
Yeah.
All right? That's free. That wasn't part of the sermon. did you know that soul winners generally don't complain about petty differences?
Right.
Say why? Because eternity is more important than something we disagree with sometimes, most of the time. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you that I agree with Joe Lopez on everything. But I don't know what we disagree on. Say why? Because we don't talk about those things. We go soul winning. Now, if I say something that's not quite right, you have the right to come talk to me. Sometimes I just, Brother Fred pointed out something I said backwards this morning. But when you talk as much as I do, sometimes the tongue and the brain don't get engaged in the same gear. All right? And it's being thought right, but it doesn't come out this way right sometimes. But let's get through our petty differences. Number four, and I'll hurry here. Soul winning makes people want to learn the Bible more. Say, preacher, I have a strong desire to learn the Bible, but once I get in it, I lose my desire. Then go out and tell somebody about going to heaven. Can I tell you why? The more people you meet, the more questions they're going to ask you, the more things you're going to find out you don't know that you wish you'd know, and you'll get in your Bible to learn those things so that you can go out there and help more people. Guarantee it. The best way to learn the Bible is go soul winning. Because all of a sudden, you'll start seeing doctrine in there you didn't see before, and you're like, I got to figure that out. And 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 then we're going to find out why the church is important, because you got to get your convert to church. And then baptism. So all of a sudden, the salvation doctrine's good, then you get into baptism, then you get into the church, and then you get into tithing, and you get into all these doctrines that you're learning so you can help your convert grow to go out there and go do the same thing. And soul winning will cause you to want to get into your Bible more. You know, the more people you reach, the more Bible you'll want to know. Say that again. The more people you reach, the more Bible you'll want to know. I'll guarantee it. I got some brand new converts. They're wearing their Bibles out because they're trying to get more people to church. It's amazing. It really is. Soul winning causes you to meet people who have questions that you can't answer. I can't tell you that I can answer every question out soul winning somebody's asked me. But after, 37 years of soul winning, I've learned a lot of that book to where I can answer most of them. Now, I know you get these retards and idiots out there. Well, can God do anything? Yes. Can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Folks, you look at that and say, dude, you're weird. The answer is, did the chicken come before the egg?
Yes.
Yes. God created the animals, not the eggs.
Right.
You know, that's such a stupid question. Did the egg come or did the chicken? Go to Genesis chapter 1, you find out it's the chicken.
Yep.
Just so you know. All right? It's real simple. And an egg can't lay itself.
Right.
You know, the idiocy of some of the questions the world has to try to prove there is no God. They're idiots. Now, you'll get some of those questions out there. Usually what I say is, you know what? Let me show you about going to heaven, and the rest of the questions will calm from there. I'll answer that in a little while. You let me get through this. Usually those questions don't mean much down the road, because
right,
salvation is far more important. So soul winning will cause you to want to learn the Bible more. You say, why? Because when you go soul winning, you realize you need those words more than your words.
Right.
When I go soul winning, I don't need my words. I need these words. I'm going to make a statement here, and it might hair lip somebody, but it's okay. I don't study other churches' doctrines. Well, I want to know what the Catholics believe so I can win more Catholics to the Lord. You don't need to know what the Catholic doctrine is. You need to know what Bible doctrine is.
Right.
Well, how do you witness to a Jehovah's Witness? Same way you witness to a Catholic, to a Baptist, or to anybody else. I don't change the doctrines of the book based on who I'm talking to. I don't worry about it. Some of you spend so much time in bad doctrine, you don't know what good doctrine is.
Amen.
You're trying to combat bad doctrine. I'm not trying to combat bad doctrine. I'm trying to beat them over the head with the gospel.
Good,
shoot them with the gospel gun, Brother Roloff used to say. Give them both barrels. So soul winning makes you realize you need the Bible more. Number five, this is the last point. Don't put your shoes on yet. Soul winning causes you to get more wisdom. Soul winning will cause you to get more wisdom. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, watch this. When you begin
to get concerned about somebody's eternity, when I get concerned about Joe Heaney's eternity, and I witness to him, and the reprobate won't get saved, and he won't get saved, and he won't get saved, beating his wife and everything else, but finally he gets saved. All right? Can I tell you something? I begin to get concerned about him, and I'm using God's words to help him with eternity. Watch this. I begin to see life through God's eyes, not my own. Wisdom is the ability to see life through God's eyes, not your own. Did you know soul winning doesn't make sense to us human beings, but it does make sense to God? Did you know baptism doesn't make sense to us human beings? I'll tell you something. It still doesn't make sense to me why God asked us after we got saved to put on a blue Smurf suit, get dunked in a tank, and get back out. But I do know this. He told us to do it. I do know this. I know that it brings an assurance of salvation along with it. It talks about the holding fast a profession of our faith by baptism. And it strengthens that. It's a public profession. And it seals that in us. It doesn't make you saved, but it is the first act of obedience. Now, I don't have to understand all the whys. When I get to heaven, I'll ask God why, but I won't need to then. But listen to this very carefully here. Soul winning will cause you to have more wisdom, because all of a sudden you start seeing lost people and you start feeling what God feels for them. You want them to get saved. Now, listen to this statement. America's messed up right now. We want to get mad at people, but may I say this? I'm more concerned about their eternity than what's happening right now. 11 police officers shot in Dallas this week. What a tragedy. Here's the question. I wonder how many of you thought of how many of those officers died and went to hell because nobody got the gospel to them. The man that shot them, I wonder if he died and went to hell or if he went to heaven. Wonder if anybody's ever gotten the gospel to him. Right or wrong isn't the issue. What was their eternity? You think of the hundreds that were killed in Baghdad in recent days with the bombings. Can I tell you something? My first thought was, I wonder how many of those people died and went to hell. Say, what is that? I'm more concerned about the eternity than I am the temporary. I realize something. We don't believe like those people believe. Can I tell you something? If they believe what the Muslims believe, they're in hell burning right now. They're not with their 70 raisins or virgins, whichever it is. Soul winning helps you see life in proper priority. Did you know I expect Hillary Clinton to be evil because she's lost? Yes, sir. You know, I don't get upset with that. You know, I don't get upset with our president, as evil as he is. Say, what does our president need? A good dose of the gospel. That's what he needs. He needs to get saved. Now, there are decisions he makes that irritate me, but may I say this? I understand, because he's acting like a lost person. Yes, sir. Those of you with small children or small grandchildren, when they hit that 2 and 3 stage, and they act like total demons, can I tell you why? Because they're lost. They really are. Yep. They're not old enough to understand salvation, and they're responding as a totally lost person. And that's how they're that's what man's nature is. Don't look down your pharisaical snoot at somebody and say, well, if that was my kid, wait a minute. Number one, your kid did do that. You just forgot because it's so long ago. We have a way of forgetting those things. Amen? Can I tell you something? What President Obama has done is nothing in compared to eternity. No matter how bad or how evil he has been, it's nothing in comparison to eternity. And soul winning will give you the wisdom to decipher between that. All right, now hang on here.
Did you know that if you start soul winning, you'll start tithing? Because you'll see the importance of it because you've obeyed him in soul winning. Did you know that you'll be faithful to more church services if you become a soul winner? You say, why? Because you'll have converts that go to church more than you do if you're not careful. Ouch. Now, I'm going to make one more statement on this, and then I'm going to wrap the sermon up. And I have 8 minutes to 7 o'clock. Praise the Lord. And I didn't make any promise before church so that I don't blow it again. Listen to this statement, though. Man's methods are not wise churches. And they look more like and sound more like the world when they use man's methods. The modern music creeping into fundamentalism today is not wise music. They may have the same words, but when you change the beat of the music, it's not wise. Well, it's cultural. Yeah, those are the same weirdos that took their clothes off and painted each other naked. Those are the same people. We think of classical music and be careful of it. It's not all bad. But did you know that Beethoven died of a sexually transmitted disease? Most of these guys were perverts. Everybody doing all right? You don't know what you're talking about, preacher. You do the study. You'll find out I'm right. I know more about music than you think I know. I know more about music and fundamental churches than you think I know. And I'll promise you, when you start changing the beat of the music, you've already changed your soul winning. You've already backed out of your soul winning. You've already changed your dress standards. The churches that are changing their dress standards, well, let's just go casual. Bible colleges on the West Coast that are telling their preacher boys, well, don't wear a shirt and tie out soul winning. Don't wear a suit coat and tie out soul winning. Just wear a polo because you might appear too aggressive to them, and people here on the West Coast just won't listen to you.
That's what they say.
That's some of the garbage I got out of when I left California.
Amen.
Guess what? I had people saved, and I dressed just like this when I was in California. Did you know God's methods work? Doesn't matter where it's at.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Preaching.
Those are the same colleges that the pastors of the churches tell their ladies that they should put pants on to go skiing. So that they can be more ladylike. Including their wives. Everybody doing all right? Well, it's just culturally different these days. Since when did culture have anything to do with God's word? God didn't change his word based on your culture.
Amen.
The rock and roll, the casualness, let's dress down stuff, and I don't know how else to say this, the worm and squishies. You know, you use all these flowery statement, worm and squishy, you know, everything's just so wonderful and yada, 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 yada. Barf. We want to use high-tech modernism. I can't tell you there's anything sinful about a screen up here, but too many preachers are trying to put pretty outlines up that they got out of some book on to show how smart they are rather than getting up and preaching. Guess what? Billy Sunday did pretty well, having over 1 million people get saved and never did have a computer. Brother Hiles had well over 1 million people and he never did have one of those screens. Everybody doing all right? Charles Spurgeon never had a screen, but sure had over 1 million people get saved. Can I tell you something? We don't need modern technology to see people saved. God said by the foolishness of preaching.
That's good.
Recently, I sat down with the deacon of a church, a well-known, one-time, very large church. This is what he said. He said, Brother Bush, if you came to this church now, the last time you were here, and he mentioned period of time, he said, it's a very different church. He said, you wouldn't recognize it. He said, you'd recognize some people, but you wouldn't recognize the church. We're much different than we used to be. I said, what do you mean? Oh, we're not following a man anymore. I said, when did you follow a man?
Yeah.
I said, I thought the goal was follow that book.
That's right.
Well, it was just too much soul winning. Not enough discipleship. Ding, 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 ding.
Right. Yes,
first words out of his mouth. This is what I said. I said, Doc, I love you. I said, let's do this. You know you and I are different in this area now. Let's talk about something else.
There you go.
I said, I love you enough. I'm not going to argue with you. And we changed the subject. I wasn't mad. I was sad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hang on for a second. We get into this touchy-feely power of positive thinking stuff. I'm so tired of the Joel Osteen stuff and fundamentalism, it makes me want to vomit.
Amen.
Now, I'll read these statements and I'll quit. The churches of today are trying to do all these things without soul winning. They make social programs to accommodate for these things and quit their soul winning. They want to have, instead of adult Sunday school classes, they'll have adult Bible fellowships. Just because it sounds more cultural. What happened to Sunday school?
Amen.
We'll have once a month, we'll not have Sunday night church. We'll have home Bible studies and we'll have people gather in people's homes all over the city, and we'll attract more people by having Sunday night at church at home, and we'll have certain select people go to these houses and teach. That's what they're promoting. Two colleges out in the West Coast. They get upset at the soul winning. They want the product without the process. They'll have all their cute programs, and they'll have all their cute little Bible studies, and they'll have their booklets, and they'll have their Bible studies, and they'll have their syllabuses in order to be a more Bible-based church. What happened to bringing your Bible to church and just letting the preacher preach the snot out of you?
Amen.
What happened to the invitation when our people walked the aisle and got on their face before God and said, God, help me go reach somebody? When's the last time you wept over somebody to get saved? When's the last time you begged God to go out and get somebody saved? No. We've turned our churches into the Elks and Moose Club instead of a soul-winning, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Can I tell you something? Grace Baptist Church is staying with soul-winning.
Amen.
May hair-lip every person in town. I don't give a rip. They're going to criticize us for something. Might as well make it for what Jesus was criticized
Amen.
For.
Amen.
And by the way, that's God's plan.
Amen.
Soul winning does more than just keep people out of hell. Soul winning, I'll use a justice word, balances the scale in the Christian life. Can I tell you where you get cattywampus in your Christian life? Usually you quit soul winning.
Yes, sir.
Instead of arguing with your wife, go knock on doors with her once. Not trying to give her away either.
Oh, no.
I saw some of the wheels turning. I did. Can I tell you something? Soul winning will keep you humble. Soul winning causes you to want to separate and get closer to God. It unifies a church. Makes you want to learn the Bible more. And it'll give you wisdom. And we have churches trying to have all these things based on their programs. We don't need programs. We need soul winning.
Amen.
That's right.
Hey, preacher, it's just soul winning, soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Well, now at least you know one part of the Bible.
Yep.
Once you start obeying it, we'll get to the next step.
Yes, sir.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Soul winning's vital to our church, to your Christian life. Soul winning's vital to you growing in the Lord, learning the Bible in every aspect of your life. I'm not saying you're going to go win 4,000 people to the Lord this week, but you ought to be willing to at least give a gospel tract out. You ought to be willing to get in your Bible long enough, get concerned about somebody that you'll tell somebody about him.